In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 1, 2, I've got a lot of Bible verses for you today. Can you handle them? Can you handle the truth? You can't handle the truth. Deep down inside, in places you don't know. Okay, here we go. We're all right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Here's what it says. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Let's stop right there. The topic of sacrifice is very deep, and it can be weighty if you start from the wrong place. If you think that sacrifice is about a new moral code, if you think that sacrifice is now the 11th commandment, thou shalt sacrifice, it'll bog you down and bum you out. It starts with who God says you are. He says you are beloved. He says you are loved. All of this stuff flows out of the love of God. And so when we are imitators of God, what he does, the starting place is the love of God. Isn't that good news? Let's keep going. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. It's about love. We are loved by God. Jesus loved us. Now we walk and follow him, and we walk in love. Jesus is a sacrifice. He is the sacrifice. The first time he's proclaimed publicly as the Messiah, his cousin John says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the sacrifice. Ancient Jews and many modern Jews would understand that way back when there was the temple, and they would bring a lamb, a sacrifice, and that sacrifice you would bring and you would lay it on the altar, and the priest would slit the throat, and you would put your hands on that animal, and as the life drained away, you would think, man, I'm the one who deserves to die. I'm the one who deserves to die. And God is reminding me here that I don't have to die forever because of this sacrifice. Jesus dies on a cross because he is the sacrifice for us, and it is his love offering to God. The only good reason to sacrifice is because of love. In fact, I don't really understand love if we talk about emotional things. If we talk about tears with love, I don't understand love because I don't cry that much. If we talk about having a quiver in your liver, then I don't understand love that much because I don't have many quivers and I only have one liver and I don't have much feeling down there. If we're talking about like the spiritual warm glow that comes around us, I've had that before, I guess, but I don't have it very often, to be clear. I like emotions. I want more emotions. Love can be emotional. I like when God gives us a jolt of love and we feel it. I like when there's a spiritual high. But love is defined in this verse. It's sacrifice. That's what love is. We know the love of God because Jesus sacrificed for us. That's what it is. And when you would put that lamb on the offering and it would burn, it would be a pleasing aroma that would go up to God. That's what that verse means when it says a fragrant offering. A few weeks ago, I went to a concert. I went to Leonard Skinner. Oh, God bless America. Now, some of you youngsters are going, Leonard Skinner, who's he? I don't know who he is. It's a they. It's a classic 70s classic butt rock band. They are amazing. They're all dead, but they're amazing. They are. Seriously, they're all dead. Half of them died in a plane crash back in, I don't know, it was 1980 or something like that. Ronnie Van Zandt's younger brother sings, looks kind of like him, sounds kind of like him, and then everybody else is a new person in the band, but they killed it, utterly crushed it. I forgot about how many amazing songs Leonard Skinner had. And this one you might have heard before. Ooh, that smell. Can't you smell that smell? Ooh, that smell. The smell. Oh, it's so good. That song could be interpreted as sacrifice. That song is actually about bemoaning the people who have overdosed and the smell of death is on them. That's what it's about. Ooh, that smell. You're living your life in such a way that you're going to die. The smell of death surrounds you. This could be said about Ephesians that I just read, a fragrant offering. It is a pleasing aroma when someone chooses to die to themselves to sacrifice for somebody else. It's a fragrant aroma. And whenever you sacrifice, that is, anytime you choose to not do something that you could do to love somebody else, it's a pleasing aroma to God. Every time you put off gaining financially or gaining in your calendar so that somebody else can gain, it's a fragrant and pleasing aroma to God. Ooh, that smell. God wants to look at you and go, that smell, the smell that surrounds you. And that smell will be the smell of sacrifice. Sacrifice is what separates the talkers from the walkers. It's what separates people who talk a good game and appear to be spiritual and maybe even have Christian bumper sticker. Sacrifice, laying your life down, is what separates people who talk about God and people who actually walk after God. That's a defining characteristic. Romans 12, verse 1, gives us another example of this. Here's what it says. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So when God asks us to sacrifice ourselves, he's never asking us to kill ourselves, thankfully. He's not asking that. It says a living sacrifice, meaning I walk around as an entity willing to love somebody else and lay my life down and sacrifice things so that God will be pleased that I'm being like Jesus who sacrificed himself. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. This world is conforming you and I that tells us we always need to upgrade, we always need to have new things, we always have to be comfortable, we always have to have more money in the bank, we always have to have more time in our calendar, we have to say no to things, we have to draw boundaries, and we do have to say no to things and draw boundaries, but many, many people forget we draw boundaries and say no to things so that we can have more capacity to serve people and sacrifice for people. That's what love is. Interesting point here too. It says, this is your spiritual worship. I don't know why they put that word in there. And I hate to say this because it could maybe cause us to not trust the Bible. Every once in a while there's a word that's not translated properly. This is one of those times. It's very, very, very rare. And it doesn't actually change whether or not you should trust the Bible at all. It's still not bad, spiritual worship. But the word spirit in Greek is pneuma. Pneuma, it's where we have pneumonia. Like my nasal passage, my spirit's all clogged up. I'm just stuffing here, my lungs just not working right. Pneuma, that's not the word that's used here. It's the word that we know for logic. This is your reasonable worship, is what some translations say. And why do they say that? They say because when you understand how Jesus laid down his life for you and how he loves you, and he went to a cross, and as a lamb, he died on a cross for you. And you just go, it's just reasonable I would do that for somebody else. After all, I call myself a Christ follower, not a Christ believer, a Christ follower. And if he loves me that much, and I'm that secure in his love, it just makes sense that I should be a person of sacrifice because I want to be like him. Does this make sense at all? We want a place where people are growing. And that means growing to look like Jesus. That means growing in love, and love looks like sacrifice. You heard my daughter as well on the video. Her got married to Nick Schuler. That was Lena up there talking. Yeah, she was talking about all the things that we've had to sacrifice as a family. I'm glad she has some happy memories about it. Many of our sacrifices have been painful. We've been through four campaigns across. And by the way, I'll say it again. I've said it every weekend. I'll say it again. There's no campaign that's coming after this series. There's not like an ask. This is not like a setup for you. This is just to help you understand what our church is about and what basic Bible stuff is about with love and Jesus. And when we went into a campaign, most of the time we would get rid of cable. And getting rid of cable back in 2000 or 2006 or whatever was a big deal because Netflix and those things weren't around yet. And there wasn't even antennas anymore for TV. So it was like you had cable, you were done. So we would get rid of cable and all these premium channels and they couldn't see TV or watch it. And I remember my kids going up on the landing of our stairs to look out the window in the window of the apartment next door to watch TV without sound. I had my son on my podcast recently, and he talked about how he was. It was such a point of celebration for him and our family when we got to be able to buy the double pack of crunchy peanut butter. Who's a crunchy peanut butter fan? Come on, who likes creamy peanut butter? Who likes crunchy? There you go, good, yes. We were amazed because of our level of sacrifice, we didn't have the cash to buy like the double pack with those saran wrapped together. And as we got to different places, it was just a point of celebration, but it was also a point of celebration looking back. The sacrifice is a part of our life. It's just who we are, it's what we do. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, therefore God has highly exalted him, this is Jesus, highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now the beginning of this passage says, therefore. In the Bible, whenever you see a therefore, you should ask yourself, what's that there for? Wow. What's that there for? And what's there for is to tie up the previous statement. Here's what's said just before this. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. God exalts him. He gives him the name above every name, hyper exalts him. Still, that's the way it is today. Go to any crowded room. Nothing will cause more people to turn around than if you say Jesus. If you say Bill, no one's going to turn around. Or Shanika, no one's turning around. You say Jesus because he has the name that's above every name. It's the most well-known name in the history of the world, bar none. And it ties to his sacrifice. If you want to be great, you will sacrifice. If you want to have a comfortable day, you won't sacrifice. Sacrifice is always the way to go to a next level if you want God to take you to that level versus you climbing and clawing over somebody else to get to that level. I say this stuff because I'm trying to preach to myself because it's hard and I don't like it. If you give me box number one, and you say, Brian, right now, you can have comfort and immediate gratification right now in this box, or number two, in this box, you can have sacrifice and delayed gratification. 9 times out of 10, I'll take box number one. Like, give me two right now. Give me two right now. 9 times out of 10. But when I do take box number two, I get further ahead with God and my life gets further ahead, because that's the path of sacrifice. Momentarily, there's a step back in sacrifice in terms of our fulfillment and satisfaction, in terms of how we're measuring up against somebody else. But man, there is an exaltation that comes with it because we become more like Jesus and we get closer to Jesus, and it's really, really beautiful. So if we're gonna sacrifice, let me give you some ideas here. I just was brainstorming these and thinking through them. What do we have to get over? What do we sacrifice when we sacrifice? One thing is this, we sacrifice our comfort addiction. Sacrifice our comfort addiction. I mean, we are addicted to comfort, right? We want our pillow top beds, we want our HVAC units, we want the latest and greatest tech, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things, nothing wrong. In fact, I have latest and greatest tech right now. It's a birthday present that my wife gave me. This is an upgrade from my previous watch. It has a larger screen for my older eyes. It has a brighter screen for my older eyes. And in terms of hiking around and doing hunting, and the map is easier to work, it's touch, there's a bunch of stuff like that. So hear me. I'm not saying let's all sell all of our stuff and let's be naked someplace. I'm not saying that. I mean, God is okay for you to be comfortable. If you have any kids, you like to bless your kids. If you have any kids, you want them to be well-fed. You want them to have a level of happiness and security. And it's okay for you to have that too. God wants that for you. That's why when you choose to give it up or something up, it's so beautiful to God. Because it's not something you have to give up like pornography. No, it's something that God's okay with. And then when you choose that, God says, that's really love. That's not sin management. That's love. You're laying that down for somebody else. And this is where some ancient forms of monasticism had it so bad. They thought that everything that was nice was wrong. So you have some find some monastic orders that would have beds without mattresses. I just went to Germany recently and did a tour and learned again about Martin Luther, who was a Catholic monk who's responsible for the Protestant Reformation. And he was a part of a monastery that they were so hardcore, they didn't even think they could have the comfort of having food inside the monastery, that for any of them to eat, they went out and begged for every meal every day, because they didn't even want the comfort of having the knowledge that there was food inside of the not the convent, that's for nuns. What's the one for? Monastery, thank you, monastery. And that's why also why many ancient monks would beat themselves. They beat themselves. So they're like, I feel too good. I gotta beat my flesh. I gotta pound my flesh. Because I can't feel good. My flesh represents sin. And so if I'm feeling good, I'm getting too comfortable and I must be sinful. And that was just going too far. God likes to bless his children. He likes to bless you. He does. And he loves when he sees his children take after him, which is being a person of sacrifice. When we sacrifice our temporal fixation. The things that are immediate, we sacrifice that. Why don't I have six-pack abs? Because I don't want to sacrifice a few beers every once in a while. That's why. Because I don't want to sacrifice chocolate-covered pretzels that I had last night. I mean, I would rather have those delicacies than have a six-pack. And it's the way it is with anybody. It's the same way it is when somebody actually gets out of credit card debt. They get out of credit card debt because they sacrifice the temporal satisfaction of immediately pulling out their credit card and having all their needs met, and they cut it up so that long term they'll stop their spending and actually get some money in the bank. But we don't sacrifice because we have this temporal fixation. Sometimes we sacrifice to help somebody else who's going to get ahead. Sometimes we do things that we don't want to do. I have a book coming out. It releases Tuesday, and I would it's two books actually. It's a study guide on the five marks of a man you can do with other guys, and it's a re-release, an updated version of the five marks of a man. Now, I put this here because I believe in this material. I love you to pre-order it. It helps an author a lot. And you know why I feel very freed up to tell you this and advertise it? Because I don't make a dime on any book I sell. Because the board came to me and said, we think that you should give and we should take everything you ever make on publishing. And I, quite frankly, I didn't like it. Quite frankly, if I had my own pure way, I think I'd probably reverse it. But you know what? I'm in submission, and I get paid well. Thank you very, very much. I do. And it was a sacrifice I was willing to make. It doesn't hurt necessarily. Sacrifice is whenever you could have something, and you choose not to have it out of love for somebody else. And when you get in a rhythm of sacrifice, your walk with God goes to a new place. And the purpose of God also go to a new place. We sacrifice also our peer competition. Like the old bumper sticker, you've seen the tongue-in-cheek bumper sticker, he who dies with the most toys wins. You know, that person knows that's not the truth, but we all kind of laugh at that because we feel it. Wait a minute, what kind of watch does BT up have? I want that watch. Wait a minute, you have the latest iPhone? What is it? Wait a minute, you have that car? Wait a minute, you have the, what? You have better clothes than me. You have your kids are going to better college than me. And we feel this competition. And when we sacrifice, we get out of that game. We see it for what it's worth. It doesn't get anywhere. When we sacrifice, we say to God, I'm playing a different game. I'm playing a game of earning your favor. I'm playing a game of having some blessings in the future that you'll determine to give me or not give me. I'm playing the game of loving people, and if I have something I can give them, that is fine. When we sacrifice these things, what happens is we end up knowing what it looks like to look like Jesus. We end up acting like him. We sacrifice not to pay God back. We sacrifice not because it's the 11th commandment. We sacrifice not because we don't deserve nice things. We sacrifice because we want to look like Jesus because he sacrificed. He was in heaven and he sacrificed all the glory of heaven and he came and he was born in a lonely and placed in a lowly manger in Bethlehem. And he lived a painful, difficult life that ended horrifically on a cross. And none of us will ever have to have that level of sacrifice. But when we have some sacrifice of some way, give some time to somebody, give some money to somebody, give some wisdom to somebody, we end up looking like Jesus. And we let God know that we worship him. When we sacrifice, we're letting God know that we worship him. I'm really excited about our Real Encounter series that is coming up. We're told by you, we've taken surveys again and again, man, when you guys go to Israel and you preach from Israel on location, these places I'll probably never get to, and you connect all the spiritual dots, we've heard from you that you love it, so we got another one coming up. It's gonna be really great. I think it's gonna be the best one. It looks at Jesus and his great 13 generations before his great-great-grandfather, who was King David. And it makes the tie between King David and Jesus and us. One of the seminal moments in David's life is in the book of 2 Samuel 24. He comes upon this guy's property who is a landowner, and David wants to have a worship service. He wants to give a sacrifice. And Araunah, the guy who owns this land and owns all the stuff, says, hey man, I'll take care of it. You're the king. I'm gonna get you the altar. I'm gonna get you the wood. I'm gonna get you the animals. My pleasure. I'm just glad to have the king here on my land. Here's what David says in verse 24. But the king said to Araunah, no, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord, my God, that cost me nothing. Sacrifice costs you. Worship costs you. If it's not costing you, then you're not giving a pleasing aroma to God. We've had four campaigns at Crossroads where people gave sacrificially. They went above and beyond their tithe to be able to buy the buildings that we have or put money towards them. We still have a mortgage. And one of my favorite stories is people just who are heroes, who no one knows their names. Some of them I know. In the early days of Crossroads, I was like a one-arm paper hanger. We didn't have a big staff. It was me and a couple other people, and that meant I did everything. I did the preaching, I did the teaching, I did the marrying, I did the burying, I did all this stuff, right? And we had this young couple that I married, names were Matt and Holly, and then we had the campaign, and they had a hard time figuring out what they wanted to sacrifice above their tithe. And so they said, you know, we don't know what we're gonna do, we're kind of in between jobs. Matt's getting a new job in our city. We're not sure how that's going to work out. We've got a bunch of stuff that's going on. We're just not sure because our future is just very uncertain. And they said, I think what we want to do is we're going to give our wedding rings. They just got married. I was like, really? I said, yeah. I said, okay. I said, this is such a sacrifice and so beautiful. Would you mind if I told this story and I'll just do it anonymously? And they said, yeah, if you think it would help give people a model, yeah, that's fine. So I said, okay. So I told the story, and I had people afterwards came up to me with the purest of intentions, said, hey, Brian, I got a good idea. Me and my husband are doing really, really well. We're doing great. How about if when Crossroads gets them appraised and sells them, how about you tell us how much they are, and then we'll pay Crossroads that amount on top of whatever we're going to do for our campaign commitment, and then you can give those rings back to the young couple. I went, that sounds, I'll run it by them. I'll run it by them. So I'm back, and I told them this idea. What do you think about this? And they were horrified. It's like, no, that's our sacrifice. What were they saying? They were saying, it's gonna cost us, and that's what love is, it costs. And we love God and he's done so much for us. We want this to cost us. I will not sacrifice the Lord that which costs me nothing. In fact, wherever you are, whatever site you are, you're in a seat somebody sacrificed for. They went without cable. They doubled their tithe. They went without their next raise. They went without a second home they were looking to buy, whatever it was. People, all different income places. You're sitting here because this is embedded in the culture of our church, because it's the culture of Jesus and we take it seriously. And that's why there's a place for you. Anything good that God has ever done to come through Crossroads has come through people who are sacrificing. And it's because any of us who've sacrificed, no, it's because Jesus sacrificed for us and gave me a shot out of his love, and gave me a second chance, and gave me grace to make it just another day. When we sacrifice, we help our friends and neighbors come to know Jesus. We facilitate that. John 15:13, Jesus says this, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Jesus basically telling them, that's gonna be me. In about six chapters, I'm gonna be laying down my life for you. I'm gonna be sacrificing for you. It's because I love you. There's so many ways, different ways of sacrifice. This last week, I was headed out to a meeting at our base camp property where we do man camp, woman camp, vet camp, couples camp, yada, yada, yada. And I'm going, and I see, as I'm going, I see out of my peripheral in New Richmond, this light, I see a car stop and another car on its side, flipped on its side. I can see the undercarriage of the car, the muffler and everything. And I'm looking, I'm going, where's the ambulances? I don't see any ambulances. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, am I the first one here? I'm seeing other cars around. No one's getting out of cars. But I see two cars down, and I see someone will handle it. So I get about 200 yards down the street, and I'm going, no, I'll handle it. So I've got, truck with bigger tires, so I get in the medium, I pull over, I'm going all this stuff, I get over, I stop, no one is yet there, and I'm thinking, I'm gonna be late for my meeting, they're gonna be waiting for me out there, but this could be a crisis, and there it is, sure as heck, you got two cars that have their airbags blown out, and they're just two women who are just dazed and confused. And I was, are you okay? I'm like, put my hand on the shoulder of the one. Are you okay? I'm looking, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. And then finally a cop comes up and they're okay. So I kind of leave. And as I'm leaving, I thought, maybe I only did that because I'm preaching on sacrifice this week. I mean, I'm thinking sacrifice. So I'm thinking that was a sacrifice. At least to my pride, I'm gonna be late for a meeting now. But I wanted to give love to these people who were hurting. It was a small one. I mean, I said, when I say it cost you, it doesn't mean that it always has to hurt. It cost me time. It cost me losing face with meeting, being late and having to explain it. It's those simple things. But we sacrifice time, our prayers, our money, whatever it is, because we love people who have yet to come to know Jesus, and we want to give them an experience where that happens. We want to be a part of a team, a community where that happens. Michael Jordan said this. He said, there are plenty of teams in every sport that have great players and never win titles. Most of the time, those players aren't willing to sacrifice for the greater good of the team. The funny thing is, in the end, their unwillingness to sacrifice only makes individual goals more difficult to achieve. If we put that in the spiritual context, if we have an individual goal to get closer to Christ, to be more like Christ, when we're not grafted into a community of faith and we're not sacrificing for and in the community of faith, it's virtually impossible to become more like Jesus, because he operated in a community where he sacrificed for people. And yet many of us have this brand of solo spirituality. It's my opinions, my beliefs. I just follow God as I hear him. And we cut ourselves off from a community and commitment to a community and sacrifice to a community because, quite frankly, we won't admit it, you're just not spiritually mature enough. You bought into this renegade, I alone and God and nobody else, and I just take care of myself. And that's not the model of love. That's not the model of the fragrant offering we see with God. We see people sacrifice prayer and time over and over and over and over and over again. We're in a building where I preach from right now in Oakley, which is another example of miracle God from people sacrificing. building was going up on the block. We were going to go down to Wall Street to bid on this building. And a bunch of people gathered in a parking lot right about where I am right here at the addition of the building to pray. And as we're praying, before I was going to go to Wall Street to bid in this building, my daughter reaches up to me. We're holding hands. She goes, "Daddy, we should march around 7 times, just like Joshua did with the city of Jericho." I said, "That's a great idea, honey." Folks, here's what we're going to do. We're going to march around the building, and just like Joshua prayed and God blinded and confused their enemies and they overtook the city, we're going to pray that God blinds and confuses everybody who we're going to really bid against. So away we went. We go around this building. It was very difficult. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. I would just say this. It was very difficult. None of us were planning on walking 7 times around a big honking building with a garden center chain link fence on the side. Takes a long time. We weren't dressed for it. Guys had chinos on and penny loafers. Chinos, that's an old-fashioned word for khakis, okay? My kids were like, couldn't walk anymore after the third lap, and so I'm picking them up, and I'm walking, I'm carrying my shoulders. My back was really bothering me then, and I'm feeling my discs compress, and I'm like, and I think to myself, okay, this is enough. Three times ought to do it. And then I sense from God, I hear from God, and when I hear from God, normally it's this way, where a thought comes across my mind out of nowhere that I wouldn't generate on my own, and I think Jesus approves of it. And he sends this thought to me, and it basically is this: "Brian, you want me to do a miracle for you, but you don't want to sacrifice and walk 7 times around a building." See, a lot of us want a miracle, but we just want God to make things easy for us. We don't want to sacrifice. That's how miracles come, sacrifice. That's how love comes, sacrifice. That's how the next level comes, sacrifice. Not waiting and just hoping that something breaks our way. Though that can happen, because God's a God of grace. And as we said before, he loves us. But as far as what we can control is sacrifice. So did the 7 times around, and what do you know? It's exactly what happened. God blinded and confused our enemies. We had people from major corporations that missed their flights and offered us 2 to 3 times what we paid for that building, because God had blinded and confused our enemies. Real story, real deal. Right now, Mason, they're celebrating their 15th anniversary. 15th anniversary. Thank you, Mason. 15 years. They're celebrating their 15 years. They met in rented facilities and sacrificed to pay for Florence to build their building, and they never were in rented facilities in Florence, but Mason did that. Because they sacrificed, and then when they got their building or their property, they did the same thing, they walked around it. And then recently, Dayton, we bought some property in Dayton, and it was not going well with the developer, because they were like, no, we don't want them here because there's bars and they're going to affect bar sales negatively. And we put out a call, and immediately people showed up and walked around that Sears in Dayton 7 times. And our real estate guy was on with all these cutthroat people in New York, and he said to them, "Hey, you got to realize that right now, there's 150 people who are praying around that building right now." And he said the guy went silent on the phone, and he said his demeanor changed immediately, and we worked out the deal. I think that's an example of sacrifice. It's an example of going to a new place. I was over in Germany, as I said earlier on, and there's a guy there who's kind of a hero of mine. His name is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one of the very few Christian pastors who stood against Hitler. Most all the Christian pastors just bought his lies, and they wanted power, and they were weak, and they were racist, and they went along with the Hitler agenda. There's a few pastors like Dietrich Bonhoeffer who didn't. Dietrich Bonhoeffer actually got thrown into jail after he was tied up in the conspiracy to actually kill Hitler, which I think that's awesome. Pastor tries to kill Hitler, it'd be awesome. And I mean, come on, who wouldn't do that, right? So, aren't I supposed to love my enemy? Not that one. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer eventually died for his role in it. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this: "When Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. When Jesus calls you, he calls you to lay down your life." He calls you to stop trying to have it both ways. He calls you to love people. Why? Because he loved you. That's why.